Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
We choose to do this. Like, you choose to have kids so you can help them navigate their emotional shit when you can't even navigate your own emotional shit.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
And my voice sounds really, really, really... Is swarthy a word? I don't know anymore.
Swarthy?
Swarthy? I don't know. I feel like my voice is sitting inside my chest. I'm not sick, although maybe a little bit in the head.
At this point, I mean, your deadline is, you know, right, not that you need the reminder, but it's like a week out.
Right now, as we record, my deadline is a week from tomorrow. Today, we have to sort of cut it short so that I can run and take Marlo to her doctor because they won't refill a prescription unless I go in and see the goddamn doctor. Don't you love that? Don't you love it when they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, come in and see me before I refill it. Just to say, like, how are you doing? How's it feeling? How's it going? And you go, it's great. Can you just refill the prescription? So you have to pay for the doctor's visit, and then you have to actually take time out of your day to go do it.
Yeah. It would just be nice if you could talk even to just, you know, a nurse practitioner, someone on the phone.
Yeah.
Is everything going well? Yes, it is. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there's reason for it that someone said they were okay, but they really weren't and blah, right, blah, blah. But
malpractice.
Nonetheless, yeah. It is a pain in the ass.
And then we run from there to go pick up Lita, and then the three of us have to go to the dentist. I don't know what it's like for you, but like, we have to schedule our dentist appointments like 6 months out.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And if I try, it's the same as my hair stylist. I can't cancel with her because she's only working 2 days a week and she's managing the salon the rest of the time. So if I cancel, I can't get in. And someone was like, wait a minute. So you have a book deadline, but you're going to the dentist with your kids? And I was like, I can't cancel it. Like,
yep.
Because that's another, like, they would try to find an opening. So in the middle of all of this, both of them have to go back to the orthodontist as well.
Between this dentist appointment and your deadline?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Marlo has the biggest project of the year due the day after my deadline. She has to dress.
What subject?
She has to decorate a poster board, write up a report, and dress up as fucking Beethoven.
Jesus. Oh my God. Did she pick Beethoven?
She picked Beethoven. It was a awesome historical figure. She picked Beethoven, and it's called the Wax Museum. And they dress up, and they go into the cafeteria, and parents come, and you put, like, coins in a cup, and then they come to life as the character.
So she stands there like a statue until someone puts coins in a cup?
Yeah. And so she has to she has to memorize all of these facts about him and be dressed up as him. And
is she excited?
Yeah, she's really excited. I'm just sort of I'm day to day, man. I'm day to day. Like, all I can think about is, okay, right now, I gotta make it to the doctor on time. That's it. That's as far out as I'm thinking.
That's what is so damn frustrating about those dentist appointments, because they always schedule them, and that, you know, they're like, okay, how about October 15th? How does that look for you?
Right.
Like, fuck if I know. I have no idea. Like, right now, yeah, that's fine. But when the time comes, it's going to be the worst possible time. Like, I don't, oh my God. Like,
do Mondays or Wednesdays work better for you? And the thing is, sometimes Monday and Wednesdays are my free days. And then sometimes my schedule completely flips and Mondays and Wednesdays are the worst days. I have no idea what a Monday is going to look like 6 months from now. No idea.
Exactly. And no matter what you do, if you pick Monday or Wednesday or Thursday, it's going to be on a day of a week that just doesn't work. But you can't, like, you don't have an option.
Mm-mm. And she has to miss school again. And, like, I've pulled Lita out of school several times for the doctor and for the orthodontist. And I don't like doing it, but I'm not so much worried about Lita because she gets straight A's. But pulling Marlo out of class, like, they have had to double up on their math this whole term. They're doing a, what is it called? It's a specific kind of math that they do. It's different. It's very, very, very different from how we learned math. It's different even from
like
how...
Like a specific curriculum?
Yeah. It's very... I think what it is that they teach them like five different ways to solve a problem. And four of those ways, you and I were never taught.
And oh, yeah.
It's like, so they teach them all these different ways to solve a problem and they have to do each and every single one. And it's like, why are they doing this when in the end, she's going to use a fucking calculator? I know that that is a cliche. But she's learning math differently than Lita learned math.
Which is absurd, uh-huh. Honestly.
And I think we talked about this. The teacher said, she apologized and she said, we have to double up because I was trying to pace it for the kids. Because they weren't getting it, and I'm trying to pace it so that they understand all these concepts. And they got angry at her and said, no, they're going to be falling behind. Get the lessons done. All week long, they're not doing anything except math and a little bit of art.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they're doing art, but that... And, you know, I think the idea of teaching several concepts is actually great mm-hmm. because... Not every concept works for every kid. You should, if one of them works, just let them do that one. Like, if you can solve the problem with a method that works, why do you need two or three or four more methods? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and it's just difficult because I don't know these concepts. I don't know how to work her through them. And I get really frustrated because I'm like, how did your teacher tell you to do this one specific concept? And she's like, I don't know. I don't think she did. And I was like, I know she did. Just think.
See, I run into that same issue with Lexton. And I was kind of in that same boat. Like, there's no way you'd get this homework if she hadn't actually taught you how to do it. But at one point, I made a comment to his tutor. And I said, you know, he comes home and says he didn't learn how to do the homework because his teacher was just talking or that she was covering a different concept. And without even missing a beat, the tutor goes, oh, yeah, I've heard that about that teacher before.
Oh, my God.
So then I immediately have to go back and start looking over all these things that I've said or thought. I'm like, well, maybe he was right. Maybe they never actually learned this shit.
Right.
And then he comes home and then I can... 90% of the time, I can solve every problem, but not necessarily how they're doing it.
Right. I have to Google it. I have to Google the concept.
Oh, yeah. With like the name of their curriculum, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you have to watch this really cheesy, like 3-minute YouTube video to figure this shit out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, that shouldn't... Oh, man.
But thank God for Google. Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
As a parent now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is pretty helpful, the fact that you can type in the curriculum, the grade level, the concept, and it just drills down exactly to what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough. I'm decent at math, so it's okay, but I think I don't know what parents would do before that. Like, how do you figure
that
out?
Well, I don't remember my parents sitting down and helping me with my math. That's not a memory of mine. I don't remember that.
I'm trying to think.
I think they helped me with homework up until like third grade, and then I was on my own. I mean, they helped me with projects, but in terms, I don't think they helped me with any of my other homework. I haven't had to help Lita with her homework since sixth grade. Like, she's...
That's pretty awesome.
She actually gets all of her homework done at school. She's like me that way.
She has time to do it in school?
Well, I drop her off really early in the morning.
Okay.
In order to get Marlo to school. So she has like 30 minutes in the morning. I don't know what she does with that time. I really don't care because her grades are so good. So
she gets it all done though. I remember occasionally, I think only in math, if there was like a particular problem that I just couldn't solve,
mm-hmm.
my dad would help because he was good at math. But beyond that, Not really. I can't really think of anything specifically that they had to do now that you mention it.
And I forgot, on top of that, I have to get home in time in order to get Lita to dance on time. She does dance every Tuesday.
Okay. See, you scheduled a dentist appointment on a dance day.
Yeah.
Seriously, rookie move six months ago.
She didn't. She wasn't. I don't remember. And it's... So we talked about this last week, or the free range kids bill that's passed here in Utah. I heard more about it today. Basically, kids can be on a playground or in a store or someplace public if they are mature enough to handle it, was the language. This is a guy on NPR, and he was saying that other states were taking note of this, like New York and Colorado. We're taking note of this, and this is to help the state of the overscheduled child. And I looked at my life, and Marlo had two sleepovers over the weekend and a play date. So she was basically playing from Friday afternoon until like bedtime on Sunday night. I knew that yesterday was going to be sort of a disaster day for her because of it. And I'm trying to balance what being a kid is supposed to be, but with the realization that our weeks are so scheduled and so rigid and so packed that finding that balance is extremely hard. And when the reporter said the state of the overscheduled child, I was like, oh no, have I overscheduled my children? They don't do taekwondo, and they don't do, you know, they don't do soccer, but they do piano, and Lita does dance. She dances.
That's two things.
That's it.
I mean, I guess it depends probably on the district, but I think when I was a kid, I feel like the homework demands were less.
Mm-hmm.
I think homework adds a substantial piece to a kid's day in any given day.
Yes.
But I mean, I know Lexton has friends who are in, like, I feel like they're in at least three things, maybe four, year round. Like, if they're not playing softball, they're playing basketball. If they're not playing basketball, they're playing soccer. If they're not playing soccer, they're doing swimming. And then they also have violin, and they're in the choir, and they're so many things. That some of these friends he's just given up trying to hang out with.
Really?
Because they're never available.
Yeah. And there was one point when only Lita was taking piano, and friends of mine were like, oh, no, we have to go to karate, or we have to go to their violin lessons, or we have to go to the soccer game. And I'm like, do I not have my kids in enough activities? Maybe I'm too lazy as a parent. Maybe. I don't know. And now they're only doing two things, and Marlo even doesn't have a second thing yet. And it's still just like bonkers. It's bonkers. How does anybody who has like four children with, you know, piano and dance and swimming, how do they do it?
I don't know, but that is my sister.
That's your sister?
And she does it with like it's nothing. Just incredibly casual, really grounded, but four kids, like two different kinds of dance, a couple sports, it's like art things. There's just, I almost feel like she's never stationary.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't, if you met her, you wouldn't guess that at all. Like, she's not frantic in the least. So I really don't get it. I just don't. But there's also a fine line between like, I'm sure that some of those kids who have three or four things truly, really, really want to do all of them. And the parents, you know, try their best to accommodate and make it work. But I also think there's some that end up doing four because they don't really have a choice. And I think it's such a fine line. I feel like we've talked about this at some point with when is enough enough? And when do you decide I'm not going to make them try this or I'm going to make them try it. And if they don't like it, they can quit. You know, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit with piano, but I think you could easily, though, like Lita's in piano and dance, right? But you could easily then say, well, you also need to be in track because you're not in, a school sport or something. whatever. But I think there's some parents that do that. And then even though the kids don't like it or get tired of it after a year, they have to keep doing it. And part of me understands why, but part of me also thinks it's a bad idea.
So were you in band or choir or any sort of sport in high school?
Heather Armstrong, I played the flute in the marching band, okay?
Okay, so the flute you played in the marching band.
Oh, yeah.
In the marching band.
Oh, yeah, in the 4th of July parade, at the football games. I had a hat with a feather.
You've got to get a photo of this. Do you have a photo of this?
Oh, I'm sure I've got a photo somewhere. I'll see
Oh, my God.
My dad is going to hear this and probably pause it to go look. So I'm sure we'll have one sooner than later. Thanks, Dad.
Okay, so I was in chorus for 3 years. 3 years. Yeah. I was also on the volleyball team.
At the same time.
Yeah. And okay. The volleyball, I mean, I loved the friendships that I had in both, but the bond that I had with my team members on the volleyball team is my greatest memory of high school. You know, the time that we spent together in practice, the time we spent together traveling to games, when we ended up, we were the first team from our school to ever make it to the state tournament.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was talking to Lita. I was like, do you want to do band? Do you want to do chorus? Do you want to do a sport in school? And she just didn't know. And I said, I think you would enjoy it because of the friendships and the bonds that you make. And so her dance teacher at school is going to try to get her to try out for the dance troupe at high school.
Oh, okay.
So that's a possibility for her, like an extracurricular in high school.
And when you mentioned it to her, did she say anything? Like, did she seem kind of positive about it?
Well, she's the one who mentioned it to me. She said, you know, Miss Kroll. Oh, okay. Yeah, Miss Kroll wants to get me into the dance troupe. And I was like, that's phenomenal. It's amazing. Like, go do that. I don't know how to dance. You do.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, it's interesting because I think a lot of times kids end up being interested in things that you're not interested in. And not even necessarily that, but it's a totally foreign space to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you've never considered. Lexton has decided he's really interested in skateboarding.
Skateboarding.
And he's actually really good.
He is.
Which is, he's not super physically coordinated. So when he told me he wanted to get into it, and I guess he'd been doing it at Heather's house, someone, he had a skateboard. And I kind of just, yeah, okay, fine. Sounds great. And then I went with him. He's actually really good.
Really?
Like, he gets on the board and somehow he has coordination. But I don't know anything about that world. I've never been interested in skateboarding. I've never wanted to watch it. I rode one once as a kid and fell on my ass. It's terrible.
Yeah. The only thing that I can say is broken bones. Oh, my God.
Oh, and it terrifies me watching him do it. But I mean, this past weekend, I took him out to a skate shop and was like, found myself there for an hour and a half talking to these skaters who are probably 20.
Really?
About the trucks and the pivot cups and the wheels and I don't know shit. But he's totally into it, which I think is great.
The pivot cups?
I don't fucking, something to do with the wheel thing. If anyone out there is listening to this and they know a thing or two about skateboarding, please fill me in. But apparently a pivot cup is pretty important. No idea.
Did you get him a pivot cup?
Yeah, he got a new pivot cup. He needed one.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I will say that particular, I don't know if it was just that skate shop or what, but there were kids there who were 6.
Yeah.
And there were people skating who were 28. And everyone just did their thing and got along and talked to each other. It was a really cool atmosphere.
I'm trying to think.
And it was a woman-owned skate shop.
Oh, really?
Which was awesome.
I'm trying to think, has it ever really gone out of style, skateboarding? I don't think it has. I mean, it was so popular when I was back in the early 90s and in the late 80s. And I dated a skater. I dated a skater.
Oh, yeah.
I dated a skater in Los Angeles, like when I was 23. He took me skateboarding with him, and that was a disaster. Whoa, was that a disaster? I fractured my arm on the first try.
Yeah, Lexton tried, like, kept asking me to try, and I kept telling him I'll fall. That's why I don't do it. So I finally caved in, 2 seconds, damn thing shot out from under me. I didn't fall. I caught myself. I was like, nope, never again.
Never again. No,
it's never again.
I think Marla would enjoy it, but you know, you were saying like young kids and then like people who are like 28, like when I walk Coco at the park every day after riding, first of all, I'm really surprised at the number of rollerbladers. But there's a ton of skaters there just skating around the park.
Yeah.
Skateboarders.
And then you see the occasional roller skater and it changes your whole worldview.
Oh yeah. I'm actually writing about, there's a post that I'm going to put up later today. There is an older black man who routinely skates. So the park that I go to has a running, a paved running path that goes around it. And it's kind of an oblong shape. It's about a mile and a half long.
Okay.
And they have, it's divided. And on the right, you walk and run and you have your dog. And on the left, you can have your bike and you can have your rollerblades. And there's this older black man who, I've seen him a couple times, but the first time I saw him, he was in a metallic green jumpsuit, sunglasses, white roller skates with pink wheels.
Oh man.
And he skated by me and, I could hear him through, and I was listening to a podcast and he, skated by me and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And then he like put his thumb up and he's skating as if it's disco night at the rink. And he turned around to give me a thumbs up, skating backwards.
Oh, man.
And then turned around and then just continued skating and dancing. And I say in this post, like, like in that moment, it was the first time I've ever felt like, you know what? I could probably live in Utah. It was such a magical, magical moment. Like he was so free. He was just so free, just dance skating there in the park.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
That reminds me, maybe you were even the one who sent this to me, but do you listen to James Vincent McMorrow?
Yes.
His video for Gold, it's that black man who's got to be, I don't know if he's in his 60s, but he's definitely older. And the video is just him skating.
Really?
Skating in positions that I couldn't even achieve at half his age.
Okay, I've got to look this up.
We need to put a link to it because the video, the song is beautiful. The video is just incredible because this man is skating and every shot of his face is just pure joy.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Did you roller skate as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I went to school with the daughter of the rink owners in town. There was like one main roller rink and she went to my school. She was in my grade. Deanna was her name.
Your stories are amazing. Deanna, you went to school with Deanna?
I went to school with Deanna. This is actually awesome. Awesome, sort of sad. I went to school with her and her cousin. So they were both amazing. His name was Dave. Dave. They were both incredible skaters because they were always at the rink. And I would never, you could buy these sour gummy worms for a quarter, which in hindsight is a ripoff, but didn't seem like it at the time. Side note. But Dave's dad was like a professional skater and skated across the United States, was on like a skate trip across the United States. Yeah, seriously. And it's sad because they were staying in a like a camper in a roadside campground and someone went off the road and hit the camper and his dad died when he was really young. I know. super
can't
dark.
Tell this story.
But the thing that's funny because I got to know Dave really well and he had a really good attitude about the whole thing. And I remember the first time I was at his house in his room, he had a poster of three guys on roller skates and like short shorts given the year and tank tops. And without even really thinking about it, my first thought was, it's a poster of the Beastie Boys. That's exactly who they look like. It was his fucking dad and two friends. And it was so badass on roller skates. You just don't see badass roller skating often enough.
Right. Yeah, I skated quite a bit as a kid. I would go roller skating every weekend. That was where we hung out as kids. And
like birthday parties too?
Birthday parties, like for everything. And oh God, I remember somebody actually sent me a picture of the rink a few years ago before they tore it down. It was like a staple of my childhood, roller skating. But I got Marlo some skates when she was 4 and she took 2 steps and I was like, nope, 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 no, we're not going to the ER. No, no, take them off, take them off.
But that must be how we looked when we started.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at the rink so many times for parties with friends. I still sucked. I was always terrible.
I was pretty good. Like I could hold my own. I couldn't do any like tricks or anything, but I could like skate backwards and, you know, crisscross and do that sort of thing and skate really fast. But I'm surprised I didn't get hurt more. Again, that would be my only concern with skateboarding is just that every skateboarder that I know has had some major, major injury, if not losing like half of their teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think it's such an interesting sport because I think it's similar to volleyball in the sense that part of practicing for volleyball is learning how to fall. Like how to dive for a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of skating is learning how to just totally eat shit.
Right.
And minimize the damage. But it is, you know, I've already told him, I'm like, you know, I know it's cool to not wear a helmet. I'm like, I don't care. You're going to wear one. Like it's a lot cooler to not get a head injury than to get one. And he doesn't care. He's totally fine with doing that. And he is not yet super interested in tricks, mm-hmm. which is great if he wants to just skateboard on flat land. Because he does tend to be pretty cautious. But it does. I mean, I'm just watching some of these people skate and flip and fall and roll over and do it again. And it, oh my God.
I used to have this weekly roundup on my website called Stuff I Found by Looking Around, which I would like I'd like to bring it back once I'm done with my book.
Those were awesome.
I get to write more on my website when my book is done. My book is going to be done in a couple of days and then I'm going to edit and then send it in next week. But I'm really excited to be able to write more.
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I would always stumble across videos of skaters, and they were either compilations of massive, massive failures and people just biting it really, really terribly, and or of like really cool tricks and, you know, a kid like flying off of a staircase that's like 2 stories high and landing it, you know, but he has to try it like 30 times before he finally lands it.
Oh, yeah.
And I could sit there and watch those all day long. All day.
But they hurt.
They hurt.
I just watched one with Lexton after we got back from the skate shop. And I don't remember where I found it. It might have been on Kotke.org. That might have been where it was posted. this guy who tried a trick like 2,000 times over the course of 2 years. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Down 3 sets of stairs and fell every single time until he finally managed to get it. But even that one, there's one point like halfway through the video where he cracks the back of his head on the concrete.
Yeah.
And still doesn't wear a fucking helmet. I don't understand why. I just don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Because when I broke my tailbone on my snowboard 8 years ago. God damn, that was 8 years ago.
I did not know you snowboarded. That's
snowboard. I can do moderate snowboarding. But I was on a flat piece. I was on a flat. You know, I'm totally just sort of like gliding along, and it's called catching an edge. I caught an edge, and it just literally flipped me over, except that I went straight down and cracked my tailbone on the edge of the snowboard.
Oh, God.
And then, like, my head went back, and it just smacked the ground.
And without a helmet.
Without a helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We went and bought helmets, like, a week later, but I haven't been snowboarding since then.
But you've got a helmet if you need one.
I do.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I used to cycle quite a bit, and I fell in 2014 or something, pretty bad, and had to get like road rash scraped out of my shoulder and my face. But I cracked my helmet.
You cracked your helmet.
I mean, I hit the ground with my right shoulder and my right, like the right side of my head, and cracked my helmet. And I can't even imagine if I didn't have it on.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, I know. And my nephew, who is on the BYU football team, he, in high school, he experienced 3 different concussions with a helmet on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, a head injury, like, you can't prevent it. But think, I mean, if they didn't have to wear helmets in football, like, it would be disastrous.
Do they wear helmets in rugby?
That's a good, I don't know.
How does that work?
I don't think they do in rugby.
How are all of them not dead? I don't know these things.
But it's like when you look at pictures of hockey players from before they had the helmets or the face guards.
Yeah.
They're not dead. They just don't have teeth. Their noses are broken in like 4 places. I mean, yeah, you can do it, but I don't know. It just, to me, it's such a simple thing. Like, just put a helmet on and you can still skate. You can still ride a bike. You can still do any of these things. You just have a helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I never wore a helmet riding a bike growing up. I never wore a helmet doing anything. Oh, you had to?
It was a rule. Oh, yeah.
Well, you are 10 years younger than I am.
True.
And back in the 80s, helmets, no. They didn't exist. Helmets didn't exist when I was a kid.
Well, I think I was maybe one of two or three of my friends who actually had to. Nobody else had to.
Wow.
I know.
Like, Marlo wears a helmet on her scooter. On her scooter.
Like a little Razor scooter?
Yes.
That is awesome.
And she, like, I mean, I'm a little militant about it, but like, she knows that she just goes and grabs it. She doesn't ride it without it. I have a Razor scooter. I did a promotion for a scooter company once, and they sent me an adult scooter, and I don't wear a helmet when I ride it because I live on the edge.
I mean, it's such a hard... I mean, there's been times that I've ridden my bike without a helmet if I just go to the store, which is stupid logic because you can really fall whenever. But I don't know. But it's interesting, right? Like, you don't wear one, but you make her wear one.
Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of skaters in 8th grade, and I've seen them around, and none of them are wearing helmets.
Oh, yeah. It's totally uncool.
It's totally uncool.
To wear one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I grew up with a kid who was skating constantly, and he was constantly in a cast of some sort.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to go sit in an ER with my kid, you know?
I don't either. I don't want to be there when it happens. I don't want to see it take place.
Oh, God. I know.
I would rather him be out with a friend and like get a call from another parent that he hurt himself, and then I have to go pick him up or go to the hospital. I just don't want to see it happen.
Because you can't unsee it.
Right. Yeah. That's been the case. I mean, it's kind of like when your kid first starts to walk. but they're at that age where the upper half of their body goes faster than their feet. So you just, every time they run, you're just waiting for them to eat it. I feel like that feeling never actually goes away.
Yeah.
Like they start to ride a bike and you're just waiting for them to fall, or they rollerblade or they skate or something. And you're just, you're always anticipating.
Oh, or they have a crush on someone and they find out that that person has a crush on somebody else. Oh,
did that happen?
And she is asking me these questions like, what do I do? Like, how do I cope with this feeling? And I'm like, oh God, oh my God, welcome to the rest of your life.
Like, I'm over three times your age and I still don't fully know how to cope with that feeling because it never gets any easier.
It never gets easier. I didn't want to say that to her, but it really broke her heart. I mean, they hadn't had any sort of interaction. She just had a crush on him. And somebody told her, he's always been interested in this other girl. And it destroyed her. And then I thought about, oh my God, what happens when she actually starts dating somebody? And what if it ends badly?
But even if it doesn't end badly, it ends badly. Mm-hmm. Like, the end is just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the first one.
Here's a helmet, Lita.
Wear a helmet with blinders. Don't look around you.
Don't feel.
Oh, man.
Don't develop feelings. Feel.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good one. The easiest way to avoid this is to just never feel anything ever again. Oh, that is rough, though. And this is like her first crush?
No, it's not her first.
Okay.
She's gone through several, but this one was the most devastating, I think, because she is much more realized in her feelings, or more actualized. Like, she feels very, very deeply now, loss and pain and sorrow. And I mean, she's a teenager, and so those feelings are so intensified by the hormones. My God. My God. She's turned, yeah. her feelings are turned to 11.
I am convinced that that's either specific to girls or that Lexton just hasn't hit that yet. Mm. He's not quite there with that emotional. I mean, he's, you know, there are moments.
She has a friend she's had for several years, and that friend is a teenager, going through a very, very, very moody stage. And she frequently comes home and she's like, and I asked her how she was doing, and she just sort of grunted at me or like looked at me weird. And what do I do? And she's like really conflicted about this interaction with this friend. And she feels it. She feels it. And it's hard to find the right words to tell her, like, you know, first of all, that girl's not worth it if she's going to be mean to you. I mean, that's what I want to say to her. Like, stop. Just, like, you know, why are you wasting your time worrying about that? But that's, right. That diminishes her feelings. And I don't want to
right.
diminish what she's actually going through. So we talk quite a bit about all of this all the time.
Well, and I think that is kind of the very last piece of the puzzle with human interaction. Is becoming okay with ending it.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a relationship, but just in general, looking around and saying, well, here are my 15 friends. These two, I spend all my time worrying about them, worrying if they like me, so I'm done. Like, I'm just going to cut ties. And I'm not saying that, you know, you hit a certain age and you master that, but I think that that's the very last piece.
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard when you're in school, too, because to end a friendship, you still see the person. It's like divorce. I don't want to be your friend. See you tomorrow. That just makes the reality really hard.
Yeah. I mean, as an adult, I've had to cut a few people out of my life because the relationship had become so toxic. And not in a romantic way, like in a friendship way. And those were difficult situations because I had been, had become so close to those people. And I sort of like go, I try to remember what that was like for me as I'm talking to her about this friend. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that you're right. Like that feeling, it never really goes away. Like you have to deal with that as an adult again and again.
Yeah. But I think you reach a point as an adult where it's hard to face that decision. It's hard to make that decision, but you're also able after the fact to realize the positive change that has come as a result.
Exactly.
Whereas like at Lita's age or Lexton's age, you don't see it. You just see, I lost a friend. And that's hard. I haven't had to necessarily aggressively cut anybody out. But it did reach a point with some people where I realized either I was the only one ever initiating contact, or typically what it was is the only time I hear from this person is when they need something. Like it's never just let's get together, let's chat. It's always I need help with this. And everyone has those times. That's not my issue. But when that's the only time you interact, then it just, you become like a service.
Yeah, I had to aggressively cut someone out of my life once.
Really?
I don't know if this person, she routinely pops up here and there. This is 12 years ago. 12 years ago, it just came to a head where I was going to get her to stop doing what she was doing. Was to scream into the phone, I want you out of my life. I don't ever want to see you again.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Man.
That's intense.
It was really, 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 really intense. Within a week, she lived a street over, and within a week, she had sold her house and moved.
Damn.
Yeah. It was really, really, really intense. But like
moved out of
the relationship had become very, very toxic and dangerous and awful and was making me very unhappy. And I needed her to go away. And I had to say that to her because she wouldn't.
I always wonder in those situations too, if like, and maybe not in this particular situation, but in hindsight, if maybe it was better for her too. Like, I feel like if it's that bad for one half of it, it can't be 100% great for the other half.
No.
It just can't.
No, I was trying to distance myself. And the more I tried to distance myself, the more panicked she became. And that made it worse. And so I would distance myself further and that made her panic worse. And so it finally came to a head where it just exploded out of my face and I jumped off my couch and was screaming into the phone. Because I couldn't take it anymore. I know that it sounds really terrible, but I didn't know how else to tell her, like, I cannot be your friend anymore. I've never admitted this publicly. Oh my God.
But I think there's also a piece where you acknowledge, and maybe this is one of the reasons too, it's difficult for kids, that you doing that, and I don't know all the details, but you doing that isn't you saying this person is a terrible person.
No.
It's just that friendship. It's kind of like breaking up with someone. Like maybe they're a really great person. You just cannot be together.
Right.
Like it just doesn't work. And I think when you can get yourself to acknowledge that you're not saying that this person is bad, you're just saying that connection is bad.
Yeah.
I think that is an easier thing to process.
Yeah. She's a wonderful person, a wonderful mother. And, you know, I hope that she's happy. I'm sure she's happy. But yeah, and I'm sure that her life probably got better without the panic of me pulling away, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, in hindsight, maybe it ended up being better for both sides.
And I think I had tried to explain that to Lita, like maybe she just needs some space and maybe you just need to give that to her. And maybe she doesn't know how to communicate that she needs some space to deal with her moodiness. But the more you push her, the more she's probably going to be annoyed. I think the hint that she's giving you is I don't want to talk. I don't want to be around anybody. I just want to sit here and be upset. So let her be upset.
Well, and at that age too, it's really hard, I think, to say, well, you need to cut someone out because they're not worth your time. When really she's just trying to figure out how to be.
Yeah.
Like, I think ultimately that's what it is at that age, is they don't really know how to be.
They don't.
So much is happening. So I think some teens just somehow process it either faster or better or more positively than other teens. And that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, you know, like maybe Lita's not really super moody to any of her friends. And that's great. But maybe some of her friends are really moody because that's just how they're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
God, and we choose to do this. Like, you choose to have kids so you can help them navigate their emotional shit when you can't even navigate your own emotional shit.
Oh, I know. And it's like you have to go through it all over again. That's the thing. Like, you have to go through homework again. You have to go through dropping off, going to school again. You have to deal with heartbreak again. Ugh. Why? Oh.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Can you really think about it? I mean, I know that you were like super academic and loved school, but I remember graduating high school and I did fine. It was fine. But I remember just thinking, I'm so glad I never have to experience this again.
No, I felt that. I felt that deeply.
But like now you do. Like, you have to experience it again. You have to experience it twice.
Twice. I have to experience it twice. Oh my God.
And there's not an overlap, right? No, they're just far enough apart. So you're going to have like 8 straight years of high school.
Oh, John, when I got my heart broken for the first time, what I put my mother through, oh my God, holy shit. Am I ready for this? I don't know if I'm ready for this. I put my mom through hell. I was devastated when I got my heart broken. I mean, I cried for weeks. I listened to this One Cure song on repeat in the dark in my bedroom and cried.
Oh, man. That is awesome.
We're going to have to go through it. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you, your sister's older, right?
My sister's older, yeah.
Okay. So I wonder, and every time you mention your mom and dealing with you like in high school, she always seemed to be fairly calm and to take a really good approach.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's because she'd already gone through it.
Well,
with one.
My sister met her husband when she was 13.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So she didn't ever experience heartbreak, really. I was, yeah. And then I came along.
it'll be fascinating because, at least currently, Lita and Marlo are very different personality-wise. So you'll adjust to the tempo of Lita in high school,
mm-hmm.
And then comes Marlo. Now, will everything that you learned with Lita apply? Will it all be worthless at that point? You don't know. Oh, wow. 8 years.
Yeah, so the theme of this episode is, why the fuck did we do this?
Right.
Why the
right.
fuck?
We have to watch them get hurt. We have to go through all the same shit.
Oh, I have to run and take Marlo to the doctor. We have to end this early. Take her to the doctor. Do a $50 ago. Copay, by the way. $50 copay.
Just to say, yeah, everything's cool.
Everything's cool. Yes, can I get the prescription refilled? Thank you. Oh. I'm not bitter about healthcare at all.
No. It's a perfect system. I hope it's a perfect system because Lexton skateboards now. So
if any of you have skateboarders or dancers, how are your kids scheduled? Are you overscheduled? Are you underscheduled? Are they free range? Have they broken bones? Do they wear helmets? Has your child had their heart broken? We would love to hear from you. stories@manicramblings.com. And you can find us anywhere online at Manic Ramblings, Instagram, Facebook. What's the other one? Twitter? Yeah.
Twitter,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And until next time, maybe rethink having children.
Maybe rethink.
There maybe rethink yeah, it.
Rethink having children.
If you already have a child, sorry. But if you don't, maybe rethink it. Just ponder it a little bit. Do you want to experience heartbreak all over again? Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.